All right, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Book of Mark, chapter number 1. Starting a new series over the next several weeks entitled, Going Out of My Way. Going out of my way. We go out of our way to do a lot of things, normally things we want to do, and if we have something that we really want to do, heaven help anybody that gets in the way of us doing that. We'll clear our schedules and do anything and everything. And as we have our first message today, the title of today's message is, If You're Willing. If You're Willing. Now, some of you will be old enough to remember this. There was a company that used to have as its motto, Service is Our Business. Now, I'm sure that there are many who have had that, but you bring that picture up there, Jer. See if any of you remember this. There it is. Anybody remember gas stations like that? Yeah, remember those? Now, today we call them gas stations. Our car needs gas, so we go to the gas station. But back in the day, it wasn't like that. It wasn't called a gas station. It was called a service station. Why? Because whenever you drove up, there were these little rubber cords that were there by the pumps, and whenever you rode over them, you heard ding, 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 ding. Remember that? All right? And whenever you drove up, see, you young people, you teenagers, you kids in here, you don't remember anything like this. Whenever they heard the ding, 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 somebody, two or three people might come out of the building, and they would come to your car, and when they would do what to it? They would service your car, right? You'd have somebody cleaning the windshields, right? You'd have somebody opening the hood and pulling out the dipstick and checking the oil. You'd have somebody with their tire gauge down there checking the tire pressures on all the tires, filling the tires full of air. And eventually they got away from that and, of course, to where we are today. But even in the midst of that, remember the time where there was they had signs where it said self-service or full service. Remember that? In other words, if you wanted somebody to come out and dare and do all that stuff, you could pull into the full service. And today I don't think that exists anywhere before like it did before, but nonetheless, I just remember that growing up in California, I remember Shell stations, and in Alabama, I remember Shell stations. Just seeing that up there, service is our business. Well, when you look at Mark chapter number 1, you're going to see that service is the business of Jesus. I mean, he's just going crazy. Now, you got to need to know some things about the book of Mark. First of all, Mark obviously wrote the book of Mark, but his information he primarily got from the Apostle Peter. But when you look through the book of Mark, you're going to see words like immediately and straightway. You see them over and over and over again. Mark is a very fast-paced book. You're not going to gain a whole lot of deep theological stuff out of the book of Mark, because the book of Mark is all about the events that took place in the life of Jesus. One miracle after another, after another, after another. He went here, he went there, he went everywhere. And he was busy about serving the Lord, all right? And he was the servant of God. And if you look even in the first chapter, and I don't know if any of you have your chapters kind of, they're kind of divided, and they have little headings throughout, you'll find that in chapter number 1, beginning of verse 21, that he's casting out demons. You'll find also in chapter number 1 that he goes to Peter's house and heals, or Peter's mother-in-law's house and heals Peter's mother-in-law. You find in verses 32 and following that he was healing all kinds of people who were sick with various diseases and casting out demons. In verse number 34, cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. And just on and on and on, you see Jesus serving. Then we get to chapter number 1, verses 40 to 42. I want to focus on those three verses here today. So if you would please with me, out of respect to God's word, if you would stand, we're going to read verses 40, 41, and 42. Mark 1, verse 40. It says, Now a leper came to him, that being Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, If you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Father, we ask, for the power of the Holy Spirit, that the blessing from the very throne of God would be upon the reading and the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God today. Holy Spirit, move upon our hearts. May we move to a deeper relationship with you, God. Move us to conviction. Convict us of righteousness. Bless this time in your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Y'all be in prayer for me. I'm really battling a lot of stuff up here. So if I have to stop and cough for a moment, I got a cough drop and I got a little cup of water up here. And if I just can't handle it anymore, Brother Billy, my notes are right here. Just come up here and start reading them, okay? All right, there you go. You'll read it, okay? I want to share with you three thoughts here today. I want to present to you first a question. A question. Am I willing? Are you willing? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to see the lost one to Christ? Think about that for a moment before you answer. Or maybe you could phrase it this way. What am I willing to do for the lost to hear the life-changing, the transformational message of the gospel? What am I willing to do? How much am I willing to cut out of my life? Am I really willing to do whatever it takes? And when we look at Mark chapter number one, we see that Jesus is everywhere doing exactly that. And what I want to share with you in this passage today, throughout all of chapter number one, it's just three thoughts of what Jesus was willing to do, and three things that I believe that we could even implement in our own lives to give us that mindset of, you know what, anywhere and everywhere I go, I need to be prepared and I should be challenged and I should be actively sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This particular passage here in chapter 1, verses 40 to 42, you'll also find this story in Mark chapter 8, verses 2 through 4, and Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. And out of these three thoughts, first I want to share with you, and this kind of goes throughout the entire first chapter of the book of Mark, is this. Number one, we must go outside our neighborhood. Now, when I say neighborhood, I'm not talking about where you live at your house, okay? You must go outside. We must be willing to go outside our neighborhood. I'm talking about as the body of Christ. As the body of Christ, what is our neighborhood? Right here, right? I mean, this is our little hood right here, right? This is our hood. We come together and we gather together. You know, we got our group here and everything. But we got to be willing to go outside this little neighborhood right here. If you look throughout chapter number one, you're going to find that Jesus was all over the place. In verse number 12, you'll find that he started off in the wilderness being tempted by Satan in verses 12 and 13. In verse number 16, you see him walking to the Sea of Galilee. In verse number 19, it says that he had gone a little farther. In other words, he's going beyond. In verse number 21, we see him entering the city of Capernaum. In verse number 29, we see him going to Peter's house. In verse number 35, it says that Jesus, that he went out. In verses number 38 and 39, Jesus said, "Let us go into the next towns and into the synagogues." The point is, Jesus didn't hang around Nazareth, did he? Jesus was out and about. He was anywhere and everywhere. There was no telling when Jesus was going to show up in your town. He could show up at any moment, especially because he's God, and he can do those kinds of things, which there are episodes throughout the New Testament, throughout the Gospels, where Jesus was in point A, and all of a sudden he showed up at point B, and it's like, wait a minute, how did he get there that fast, you know? But nonetheless, Jesus was anywhere and everywhere. He was in the wilderness, he was at the lake, he was in the city, he was in people's houses, he was in the next towns, he was in their churches or their synagogues, he went outside his neighborhood. Are you willing to take that message outside of this neighborhood? It's easy to talk about it in here, but do we talk about it out there? It's easy to talk about it amongst the believers. Jesus talked about it often amongst the disciples, but then what did he do with the disciples? He sent them out two by two, right? He sent them out with that message. Listen, it's not an accident that in each one of the Gospels and in the book of Acts, there is some form of the Great Commission. And you'll notice as it comes up on the screen there, as we kind of review some of those passages, you'll notice I have certain words that are highlighted and underlined. In Matthew chapter number 28, verses 19 and 20, we have the Great Commission. Not the great suggestion, not the great if you feel like it, go do it. The Great Commission. We have been commissioned to do this, and Jesus himself said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Did you catch that? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. He said, go into all the nations. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to whom? Every creature, everybody. Preach it to everyone. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations. Did you catch that? Beginning at Jerusalem. In other words, beginning right there at home. Taking the message everywhere. John chapter 17 and verse number 18. As Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into where? The world. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, everywhere. Are we willing to go outside of our neighborhood? Because Jesus has called us to do that. He's called us to go outside of this spiritual house right here and take the message out there. He's called us to do it. He's commanded us to do it, to share the good news with everyone, to go outside these walls, to go outside of our ministry. See, some of us, some believers have this mindset. Well, you know, Pastor, my ministry is the nursery ministry. And that's my service to the Lord, and I'm not going to, and you don't say it out loud, but you say, I'm just not going, your actions say, I'm not going to go beyond that. That's wrong. That's called pride. That's called selfishness. Well, my ministry is the music ministry, and as long as I do my thing in my music ministry, that's my service to the Lord. You're forgetting about the great command of the Great Commission. Love your neighbors yourself. Go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. You're forgetting some things. But some believers have that exact mindset. This is my check off my list to God. Hope you're happy I was here. We'll see you next week. That's exactly the mindset of some people. In fact, I believe it's the mindset of a lot of people. Preaching the gospel to everyone. Going outside of ourselves. Going beyond ourselves, going beyond our plans, going beyond our agenda, going beyond our giftedness. Did you know that the spiritual gifts that we find in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4, the spiritual gifts that we find, there is no one in here who simply has a particular spiritual gift that God does not want you to expand upon that gift and even embrace other spiritual gifts as the Holy Spirit works in your life? Do you realize that? Well, Pastor, I just don't. By the way, don't think this way. I don't have the gift of evangelism. You'll notice there is no gift of evangelism. It's not there. There's the gift of an evangelist. Someone is called to be an evangelist. Evangelism is a command, not a gift. There's a difference, right? There's a difference. But nonetheless, in all the spiritual gifts, as God and the Holy Spirit, He works in us and through us to reveal those spiritual gifts. He causes those spiritual gifts to come forth even more as He's working in us, and then more spiritual gifts even beyond that are beginning to come and bring to fruition, even beyond that, the spiritual gifts that you may not have even had before. You may have been saved for 30 years, and I know this is my testimony. When I first started as a believer in Christ, there were certain things that God has really gifted me to do these types of things, and I can see some things. But if that's all, then I haven't grown at all as a believer, you see? The whole time, those spiritual gifts have been increasing, and God has been revealing more in my life and showing me more. And the ones that I have, He's been fine-tuning along the way, right? Just like you fine-tune an engine, and God is He's still working on me. That's why we have that song, right? To make us what He wants us to be. You've got to be willing to go outside of our giftedness, go outside of our personal preferences, to go beyond our agenda, to go beyond our plans. I know all of you in here, you got a food pantry, right? You got that one closet or that one cabinet, you know, it's got all the stuff in there, right? You got all that stuff. You got, I'm just in my own food pantry. I'm thinking cereals. I'm thinking the big container of sugar. I'm thinking the flour. I'm thinking the powdered sugar, the brown sugar. I'm thinking salt and pepper. Let's see, the honey, the syrup, the cornbread mix, and the canned goods, right? The canned goods, you got all those in there, and whether it be fruits or vegetables or whatever it is, you got all those things in there. But do you use those things every single day, all of those things every day? No, you don't. You just use them at certain occasions, right? Certain times of the year. Some of you folks who just love, how many just love to cook at Thanksgiving time, Christmas time? You love to cook. Okay, some of you, yeah, my mama's that way. Now, she will use some ingredients during that time that you won't use the entire year. Remember way back when she pulled out, I don't know if it was the cumin, I don't know if it was the paprika, I don't know what it was, but she pulled something out at Thanksgiving to use it for cooking, and there were these little, let's just call them critters, that were in there, you know? And she's like, oh, you know what came after that? David, could you go to the store? That's normally the way it worked. But what happened? She hadn't used that since the year before. And somehow a little whatever's got in there is like, okay, this stuff is no good. Let's get rid of it. You know, you look at the expiration date and all that kind of stuff. But you use them for special occasions. This is what the gospel is all about. God presenting opportunities to you to share the good news of the gospel and then taking advantage of those said opportunities. This is why we go blitzing. This is why we do follow-up on VBS. This is why we do follow-up on Trunk or Treat, which we did yesterday morning. Had a good time, didn't we? This is why we go out and we share the gospel and just go and go door-to-door. This is why we have door hangers. This is why we go and pass out the cards. Because God's given us opportunities. This is why we have the gospel tracts back there in the back. To go outside with what we've learned, what we've been challenged with on the inside. Folks, it's great that we talk about the gospel and embrace the gospel within our neighborhood. But if this is the only place we're embracing it, we're not obeying Scripture. Anybody like to go fishing? Anybody like to go fishing? I like to go fishing. I like to go fishing. I haven't really been fishing in a long time, not serious fishing. We got up in Indiana, there's a family that we know up there. We call them Uncle Jerry and Aunt Dolly. They got a little pond out there and everything. But I haven't really just taken a fishing trip. You know, got all the gear together. I go up there, I just borrow Jerry's rod and his lures and we get some bait and all that kind of stuff. But I've never just taken a tackle box full of lures and worms and string and fishing knife and all that kind of, you know, just kind of man stuff, you know. And get the pole out there. And of course, you got to get the cooler. Got to have a cooler full of cold drinks, amen. And you got to make those sandwiches up ahead of time. You got to get all prepared, you know. And you got to make sure everything's in order. And you got to get there at the right time. Because there are certain times of day where the fishing's better, right, Brother Adele? Or certain times of day you don't want to show up at that time, you know. So you gotta set your clocks and all that kind of stuff, and you gotta prepare. I've been fishing in streams, I've been fishing in lakes, I've been fishing in the ocean, I've been fishing in the Gulf, I've been fishing in ponds, I've been fishing in places. But you know something really strange about all those places? Those places where I've been fishing actually have fish in them. Amen. Not once did my dad ever tell me, son, pack up all the fishing gear. We're going out there, and we're going to ride our bikes out in the woods. And that's all we're going to do. No, I've never been taken to a place of just dirt to go fishing. Why? Because there are no fish there. We got to get outside of the hood here, the neighborhood. I'm assuming these fish here have already been caught, and these fish here have already become fishers of men. Amen? So it's time for us to get out there where the other fish are. We got lots of them. There's some right across the street over here. Amen? Come on, talk to me. There's some right across the street from you. There's some next door to you. They're everywhere. Amen? Question is, are we willing to get outside of our neighborhood to do this? Number two. Jesus did. He was all over the place back in Mark chapter 1. Number two, we must get uncomfortable. There's where we catch everybody. You're going to have, wait a minute, whoa, you're telling me I'm going to have to go outside of my comfort zone and I'm going to start to feel kind of, yeah, because it's not easy. And those of you that have ever truly shared the gospel with someone else, you know that it's not easy. Look here in this passage here. A leper came, imploring him. He's begging Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Leprosy. Today it's known as Hansen's disease. All right? Not really prevalent today like it was back then. It does still exist today, though. It does still exist, but not like it did back then. You will find that it is addressed in Leviticus chapter number 13, an entire chapter where there's instructions given, guidelines given on what lepers ought to do and how to handle this problem of leprosy. Jews regarded leprosy as the stroke of God. We've seen, hopefully you haven't seen this, but maybe you have. I've seen the title. The series, The Walking Dead, right? That's what they considered lepers. You were walking dead man. All right? There was no hope for you. A leper carried in his body, according to John Phillips, he says, a body of corruption, contamination, and death. Leprosy was a death sentence. You lost feeling in your fingers, you lost feeling in your feet and your limbs that eventually led to the loss of the limbs and having rotted stumps. In Leviticus chapter 13, it talks about seven different forms of leprosy. And what would happen is if somebody appeared to have leprosy, which it usually started swelling of the eyes in this area, and of course, whenever you have itching and swelling up here, what's the tendency to do? Touch, right? Touch, scratch. Then you got it on your hands, and all of a sudden you're touching your elbow, then all of a sudden you're touching your leg, and there you go. It's starting to spread all over you. But it would start there, and the priest would say that you have to be in isolation for 7 days. Then he would look at you again, and if you weren't any better, you got to be in isolation for 7 more days. And after that point, if you weren't better again, that's when they said, okay, you're a leper and you're out of here. And as a leper, you could not have any physical or any kind of contact with anyone whatsoever. Lepers were thrown out of the synagogues. They were thrown out of their families. They were thrown out of society. You could not live or you could not go into a walled city. You had to go to a city, if you did go to a city, that was without walls. The only companions you had as a leper was other lepers. That was it. When you walked into a city that was not walled, you had to cover your mouth while you were shouting, unclean, unclean. And according to the Talmud, which is it's the book of ceremonial laws and regulations of the Jewish people, you had to stay at least 6 feet away from somebody. And if it was a windy day, you had to stay away at least 150 feet away from them so they would not become contaminated with the leprosy. It was a bad, bad disease. So this guy is coming to Jesus, this leper, and he knows the law, he knows the rules, he's been following them for years, he hasn't touched anyone, he knows he shouldn't be touching anyone and be around anyone, but yet, nonetheless, he gets uncomfortable here. He realizes, you know what, I'm going to go against what the culture says. I'm going to go against the cultural norms. I've got to get to Jesus. So I'm going to go against the cultural norms. What were those? Well, if you look at this passage here, you'll find that he came in close contact with people. I would say that as he comes to Jesus, he's within 6 feet of him, wouldn't you say? Because he falls down and worships him, right? He's within 6 feet and the other people that are around him. In fact, Luke chapter 5 and verse number 12 says that this man just didn't have leprosy, that he was full of leprosy. His entire body was engulfed in this dreaded disease, but yet he's coming in close contact with people. Also, as he comes to Jesus, I don't see any unclean or unclean being shouted here, do you? It's not there. It's not there. So he's breaking the cultural norms here. He's getting uncomfortable with what's going on, but yet he's got to get to Jesus. He approached Jesus. He spoke to Jesus. He knelt at the feet of Jesus. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2 says that he worshiped Jesus, that he fell on his face. And in Luke chapter 5, it says that he called him Lord. That sounds like somebody that wants to get saved. How about you? He's wanting to get to Jesus. He knows Jesus has got the answers. He knows he's had all the medications. He's had all the doctors. He's had all the times. He's had all of appointments. He's had everything he could possibly do. Nobody else can help him, so there's only one. And you know what? He is Lord. He is worthy to be worshipped. He's the only one I'm going to. I don't have to worry about the rules or regulations. All I know is I got to get to Jesus. got to get to Jesus. He was willing to get uncomfortable, risked this outcast, risked being stoned, being killed right there on the spot. But not only did the leper go outside the cultural norm, guess who else did? Jesus himself did. Jesus received the leper. He didn't tell him to get away. Get away from me. Whoa, back up, man. You know the law. No, he didn't do that. He received him. And then he reached out and what? You know what's interesting about this? Why didn't he heal him first and then touch him? Could he have? Yes, but what did he do first? Touched him first. Did you catch that? Breaking the cultural norms, going outside of the box, you think the people were getting uncomfortable? I mean, how do you think their response was whenever this leper got up there, got close to Jesus? Oh, leper, go! Wouldn't you? Wouldn't I? It's okay to answer, church. You could engage me here a little bit, would you? Yeah, you'd be wanting to get out of there. Whoa, man, those nasty clothes. You stink. Dude, is that your finger? Oh, my word, you know. This is not a good situation. But not Jesus. Jesus went against the cultural norms. The people were made uncomfortable. And he brought healing to this outcast. By the way, a person who had leprosy, the Jews looked at them as a person who must have really done something terribly wrong against God. So they labeled him one of the worst sinners there could be. And yet Jesus was reaching out to him and touching him. He was willing to act on behalf of one who no one else had acted on behalf of before. Are you willing to get uncomfortable? Are you willing to get uncomfortable? Just two Sundays ago, a couple came right in that back door. Remember that? You didn't see it initially. I did. It was about 10, 15 minutes before the preaching time was done. They came in quietly, sat back there. And there in the invitation, they came forward. They had the courage to come forward. Wow. And they asked for prayer. They told me their plight. They told me their situation. And I commend, there were several of you that gave to them, which, by the way, is exactly what should have happened. I have to stand here and ask myself, what would Jesus have done? He would have put his arms around him. He would have prayed with him. He would have provided for their needs. Amen? And many of you stepped up and did that. And I commend you for that. And I praise the Lord for that. But I wonder how many of us would truly do that on our own. One of the blessings I had growing up at Calvary Baptist Temple in Montgomery, Alabama. One of the blessings, and this is probably one of the highlights of my life. I've got a lot of them, but this is one of them. Is when I got to work in the bus ministry. And we had what was called Sunday School 1 and Sunday School 2. I think I mentioned that to you. Sunday School 2 was where we took our buses. And we had 10, 11 buses. We had a lot of buses. Bus ministry was a big deal at our church at that time. And we went down to an area that was flat out. It was the tough part of town, folks. Hall Street. Remember Hall Street? Hall Street. Good night. You don't go down there at night. And I don't know if any of you have heard of this, Crampton Bowl, which is the big football stadium that's there in downtown Montgomery, was right beside. I mean, Hall Street goes right beside it. You can't miss it, you know. It's like, here's all the apartments over here, and there is Crampton Bowl. And those kids that came out of those apartments, they weren't pretty to look at. They hadn't had much to eat. They definitely had not had their clothes washed. They were dirty. They were filthy. They hadn't bathed. Their language was just as filthy. But I'll never forget the opportunities that God gave me to minister in that ministry, because some of those kids were just, they hadn't received a bit of love all week long. And they'd run up to you and just, your legs. You know, most people would look at them and go, I love going there. It was a blast doing that. That's what Jesus did for this guy. He was willing. I don't think Jesus felt uncomfortable doing this, because this is why he came. But I believe the people around him probably felt uncomfortable, and I believe the leper probably felt uncomfortable. My question for us is, are we willing to get uncomfortable? Is that what we're willing to do in order to share the gospel with somebody? Last thing, as we close, we must think eternally. We must think eternally. We must be ready to get uncomfortable. We must go outside our neighborhood. And thirdly, think eternally. Verse 41, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus could have rejected him because of the laws and the rituals that were set up, that were in place, the regulations. He could have rejected him, but he did not. Instead, he looked on this person with love. He was moved with compassion, the Bible says. I love this word here, compassion. It's a really hard Greek word to say, splagkinizomai. The word is splachnon, and it means the heart, the lungs, the liver. Have you ever been in a situation where you just feel in here your heart just go out to somebody? You know? When I see on TV military funerals, or I see that some of those caskets coming off a military plane, they've got those flags draped over them, and I see those Marines or whoever dressed in their dress blues or whatever it is, and there's utmost, you know, respect, and I get it. You know, you get that whatever in your throat, and in on the inside you just feel that. That's what Jesus is feeling. His entire insides were just going out to this man. He felt and was moved with compassion. Are you moved with compassion when you see people? Are you? The other day, I was at Walmart fueling up. Yes, at a gas station, not a service station. And I was busy. I had things to do. Any of you know me, usually I have a schedule I like to follow. Just boom, 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 boom. And I knew one of the things on my list, get to Walmart, get gas. You're running on fumes, son. You got to go get fuel. And I got there, and I had to go do the next thing. And when I got there, I saw this, I'm assuming, homeless guy sitting over to the side. He had a bicycle, and he had a dog. I just kind of looked at him, and, hey, how you doing? You know, just put gas in, get out of here. And as soon as I left, I could just, the Holy Spirit said, why are you leaving? You know what I mean? I was like, Lord, you know I got this. And I could just sense him saying, I don't care about your schedule. Why are you leaving? Answer my question. Well, I had already come out of the parking lot. So I just went on over. I got him some food over at Chick-fil-A. And I came back. And I know we caught eyes before, you know. But when he saw me pull back in a second time, you know, he just kind of going, okay, what's going on here, you know. And I pulled over to the side and started walking over to him. And I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, all right. I said, I'm Dave. What's your name, man? He said, I'm Joe. Right after he said, I'm Joe. Woo! He had Buster up there with him. That was the dog's name. This is Buster. Don't mind Buster. He's just very protective of me. The problem was, the closer I got, the louder Buster got. Amen? So I just said, man, I just wanted, and I got one of our church cards that has the gospel on, and I put that in the bag with the stuff, and I said, man, I just want to come and just give you something to eat, something to drink, and there's a little card in there about our church, and just want you to know, read that card. It could tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven one day, all right? And as I walked over, and he was like right here, and his bike was over here, and Buster was going wild at this point, you know, so I just kind of walked over there and put it at the front of the bike and hurried up, got back in the car, you know, hustled back. But See people as Jesus sees people. Eternal souls. People who will spend heaven, eternity in heaven, or eternity in hell. Jesus was moved with compassion. Secondly, he touched the untouchable. Leviticus 5:3, you can look at it later, but it says, you know what, if you touch that which is defiled, you become defiled. Now, we all know Jesus doesn't come defiled, but nonetheless, he still reached out and touched this man. He loved this man so much that he was willing to touch him. Most would have healed him first and then touched him, not Jesus. He touched him first and then healed him. This man had been touched by, think about that, he hadn't been touched by anyone in years. Ever since he contracted the leprosy, no handshakes, no hugs, no kisses, no pats on the backs, no rubs on the head, no high fives, no warm embraces, nothing. And then Jesus touches him. What's interesting here is when Jesus, in the people's eyes, when Jesus touched him, all of a sudden he's healed. The outsider becomes the insider. And who becomes the outsider? Who becomes the outcast? Jesus, because Jesus touched that which was defiled. He was willing to swap places. Did you catch that? He was willing to become the substitute of this person and be in his place. He was willing to touch the untouchable. Christopher Searcy was playing basketball with his friends back on May 16, 1998, when he was shot in the chest. The bullet perforated his aorta. His friends helped him to get back, and he got within 40 feet of the entrance in the hospital and trying to get him into Ravenswood Hospital. And they went inside and they said, "We need help, we need a gurney, we need people to come out here." But the hospital staff refused to help Christopher, saying it was against their hospital policy to administer aid to anyone that was outside the hospital. Eventually, they were able to find a police officer, and a police officer was able to get a wheelchair and wheel Christopher into that hospital, where he was helped by the hospital staff, but unfortunately, he died about an hour later. Many times it seems that we as the church are surrounded by people who have taken the bullet of sin to the chest, and they're dying. And we're not willing to reach out and help them because I've got this going on. I've got that going on. They're kind of shady. Folks, we've got to be willing to touch the untouchable. To get uncomfortable and reach out to those people who haven't been touched at all. They may be, you may be, the only Jesus they ever see or get. That's what Jesus did here. Finally, lastly, Jesus proclaimed the healing. He said, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately, the leprosy left him. Jesus saw his faith. This man fell down, worshiped him, called him Lord, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus saw his faith. His healing was instant. There was no pre-op. There was no surgery, no meds, no extended treatment, no recovery, no rehab, no therapy, no special exercises, no special diet. Totally physically healed. And in the following verses, Jesus said, "Now go show yourself to the priest. They'll see that you're totally healed." But he was willing to do this for this man. Are we? Are we? When we bring the life-changing, healing, and saving message of the gospel to an outcast of heaven, you got to remember that outcast is an outcast because of sin. So we could be that substitute. We could substitute for Jesus and bring Jesus to them. Jesus is no longer physically here on this earth. He's called us physically to take Jesus to the lost. And as he has shared his message, so we must share that same message if we are willing. When the Titanic went down, there were three messages that were sent about icebergs. Watch out for icebergs. But the people who happened to be on the lookout said everything looks good and everything looks nice. So they never sent those three warnings, those three messages to the people who needed to know. And because of that, over 1,500 people died that did not have to die. Another tragedy of that is the lifeboats. Out of all those lifeboats, most of them were only half full. People were in the water, they were dying, but the people that were in the boats were not willing to take the risk to go back and rescue those who were drowning or freezing to death in that water. You know, we as believers, we got a message. And we've got to be willing to take the risk to share that message. It means the difference between heaven and hell. The question is, am I willing? Jesus was willing. No matter what the people said, no matter what was going on, Jesus was willing. My question to all of us is, are we willing? Let us pray. Father, Lord, you know my heart. You know it's not perfect. Lord, you know that I have not taken advantage of opportunities before, and then I have taken advantage of opportunities. Lord, I pray that you would transform our hearts to be more willing, to sacrifice time, to be more willing to sacrifice sleep, to be more willing to sacrifice our agendas, to be more willing to sacrifice of ourselves, to share this life-changing message with others. Lord, if we're willing, I thank you that you were willing. You were willing to go outside of your neighborhood and come down to this wretched earth. Thank you. You were willing to get uncomfortable and dwell among sinners. Thank you. And you were willing to think about eternity without us. And you were not willing to allow that to happen, but rather you were willing to go to the cross for us in our stead. Fathers, we need a new level of commitment. We all need to be more committed to your agenda rather than our own agenda. Lord, we all know that we have things that we have to do because of our families and our jobs. But Lord, so often we get caught up in things that really don't matter. And we neglect the very thing that you came and died for, and that is the souls of men. Speak to our hearts, I pray. May we be willing to share the gospel. In the precious name of Jesus, we all pray.